What are the barriers to oneness? What are the barriers to oneness? And we'll explain this from the story of Adam and Eve. The first barrier يقول لك when they had sinned they covered their loins. When they had sinned they covered up their loins with fig tree. With fig leaves. And here I've questioned you, and I want you to think about this question and answer it to me. هو in Genesis chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, يقول لك then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. We in some other translation of the Bible, other versions, يقول لك and made covering for their loins. So they covered their loins. And the question here, Adam and Eve saw the fruit with their eyes, right? And they grabbed the fruit with their hands. And they ate the fruit with their mouth. But when they covered their loins. They didn't cover their eyes that saw the fruit. They didn't cover their hands that grabbed the fruit. They didn't cover their mouth that ate the fruit. But they covered their loins. Why? Why they covered their loins? يعني maybe it will be more logical if they cover their eyes or their hands or their mouth, because these are the members that touched and saw and ate the fruit. But they cover their loins. Why? Why? Why do you think they cover their loins? Now? Exactly. They cover their differences. They cover their differences. And think about it. That's what we do usually in relationship. If we are not comfortable in this relationship, if we don't feel safe in relationship, the first thing we tend to do is to cover our differences. Let me tell you. In your relationship with your spouse, or with your friends, if you feel that your opinion is not welcomed and your friend or your spouse does not validate your opinion and your difference, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to hide your thoughts. If you shared your internal emotions with somebody and this person invalidated you, you will keep this emotion for yourself. You will hide them because these emotions are very precious to you. You will not feel safe and secure to uncover these emotions, to uncover this feeling, unless if you are sure that these emotions will be validated and will be taken seriously. And this is the first barrier to oneness اللي احنا بنسميه self protection and fear of rejection. Why you cover these emotions and this feeling? Because you are afraid to be rejected. You are afraid to be invalidated. And in this way, you are protecting yourself. You are protecting yourself. And if you go back to this diagram, and just to make it easier, I'm going to make two circles like this. When you start to protect yourself for the fear of rejection, you are actually making some sort of a barrier between you and your spouse. And in this way, the oneness is not there anymore. There is a barrier here, start to develop between you and the other. Why? Because you are protecting yourself. You are hiding behind this shield, this barrier, to protect yourself lest you become rejected. And the first thing that you're going to cover is your differences. As Adam and Eve covered their differences, their loins. And what is the motive? It's very interesting when you hear the reply of Adam. Adam said to the Lord, I was afraid, so there's fear, and I hid myself. So this fear made Adam hide himself. So the fear in relationship does not only create a barrier between the two spouses, but also create a barrier between the person and God. And we are tending to hide ourselves from God also, as Adam did. So we cover up our thoughts, our feelings, our opinions more when we are perceived by others differently. And that's why in marriage, you have to make every effort to avoid this barrier. If you're going to reject the other, either openly or subtly, actually you are creating a barrier. And this barrier will grow over the days, and then you will lose the oneness that God meant for marriage. You need to keep these words in your mind all the time, all the days of your life in marriage, naked and unashamed. The ability to uncover all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your opinions, all your emotions without being ashamed, without being fearful of rejection. It is how we handle our differences. How we handle our differences, this leads to building barriers that destroy the oneness between the partners. The second barrier in marriage . Did you understand this barrier? Clear? Okay. The second barrier in marriage is barrier of selfishness. Selfishness. This is different than this barrier. In the first barrier, you start to uncover your thoughts and your emotion and your feeling, but because the atmosphere was not safe and you felt rejected, that's why you start to build this barrier in order to protect yourself, in order not to be rejected. But the second barrier, it starts from the beginning with selfishness. One of the spouses, or both of them, are selfish. And what do I mean by selfish? This person needs his desires to be fulfilled without trying to fulfill the needs of the other. Like, if you go to this example, so this person, this weakness, he wants them to fulfill this weakness, but without him fulfilling the weakness of the other, without satisfying the needs of the others. This selfishness in marriage, على طول, makes a strong barrier between both partners. And that's why St. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, made it very clear to get out of this selfish attitude. And in verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And here, St. Paul is speaking more than the sexual relationship. Speaking about the selfish attitude in marriage. And that's why in the commandment to the husband, Na'ullu, hurry to do what pleases your wife's heart. أن تسرع لما يسر قلبها. لما نقوله أن تسرع لما يسر قلبها, to hurry to do what pleases her, this means you need to get rid of your selfishness. And when we tell the wife to submit and to obey, again to get rid of her selfishness. Listen to what St. James says in his letter, chapter 4, from verse 1 to 3. St. James chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? He's asking question. Where conflicts and fights and wars come among you? Come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. St. James in this passage is making it very clearly that fights and wars arise from what? From selfish desires, from selfishness in marriage, which destroy the oneness in the marriage. When we hurt one another in a relationship, we hurt one another because we are selfish. We want it my way, not the other way. That's selfishness. And behind this selfishness, there is a self-protective desire that motivates me. Why I want it my way, because I am afraid. I want to protect myself. And that's why to get rid of your selfishness requires faith and trust. Faith and trust in whom? If you remember that the marriage is threefold. Threefold cord. Then, do you have to be fearful? Or do you have to be scared? No. Because God is in his cord. Maybe, you don't trust the wisdom of your spouse in dealing with certain issues. But you need to trust God who is in this threefold cord. And if you trust God, you don't have any reason to justify your selfish attitude, to do it your way and your way only all the time. Some people look at those who want it their way as they are controlling and they are manipulating the situation. But in reality, they are very weak. This controlling attitude arises from a very weak point. It is a weak point inside the person. That is, he's fearful and he wants to protect himself, and that's why he wants to control others to protect himself. This is lack of faith and lack of trust. But when the person grows in his trust and grows in his faith, he will get rid of this fear and he will be able to trust God. And through trusting God, he will trust the other and he will not be controlling, he will not be manipulative, and he will not hurt the other and will get rid of his selfishness. And that's why, what is the remedy for selfishness? What is the remedy for selfishness? We read about this remedy in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 13 to 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. God called you to freedom. You need to free yourself from the slavery of yourself. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Serve one another means what? Please one another. Put the other before you. Put the other before you. Put his needs or her needs before your own needs. That's marriage. That's the oneness of marriage. You want to please the other, not to please yourself. Serve one another through love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But, listen to this verse. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And that's what happened in conflict in marriage. Bite and fight one another. Bite and devour one another. And what will happen? They consume one another. They destroy one another. We see many spouses after 5 years or 7 years, or sometimes less than this, are destroyed. Destroyed emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, because they are biting and devouring each other. You need to love one another. And when we speak about love, love has three dimensions. Christian love has three dimensions. I want you to remember this all the time. Love, number one, it is unconditional. Number two, it is sacrificial.
Number three, it is limitless.
There is no condition in love. If you put any condition, it's not love anymore. And love doesn't seek its own. Love puts the other. It is sacrificial. And love is limitless. There is no limit in love. If you keep these three points in your mind and in your heart, you will get rid of selfish desires. And there is no other substitute for growing spiritually when it comes to great relationship as in marriage. Again, if you want to have a great relationship in your marriage, if you want to have oneness that is permanent and that's open, there is no other substitute than you grow spiritually. When you grow spiritually, you will be able to love and to get rid of your selfishness. And that's why your marriage will remain happily to the end. When we spoke about barriers to oneness, the last point I will speak about: negative attitudes that destroy oneness. Negative pattern that destroy oneness in marriage. And you may ask, I'm sure some of you are asking, why I'm speaking about barriers and negative patterns? Why I don't speak about positive patterns that enrich the marriage, for example? Of course, there are positive things you need to do to enrich the marriage and to keep the oneness permanent to the end. But I want to tell you about the power of the negative. Power of the negative. One negative pattern can wipe out the effect of 20 positive attitudes or patterns. That's the power of negative. If you have a basket full of apples, for example, one rotten apple in this basket, one rotten apple can destroy the rest of them. That is the power of the negative. And that's why in the Bible, the commandments in the about relationship that speak about don't do is more about the commandments that you should do. You know what I mean? And if you do study for in the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and you get all the verses that speak about relationships, you will find the verses that speak about don't do are more than the verses speak about what you should do. Why? Because of the power of the negative. See what King Solomon said about the power of negatives in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1. يقول ايه؟ يقول dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment. يعني لو واحد حاطط برفيوم او لو عندك ازازه برفيوم, one dead fly will destroy it. With dead fly putrefy the perfumer's ointment and goes it to give off a full odor. So see, perfume which is very powerful, dead fly causes it to give off a full odor. So does a little folly, a little foolish behavior to one respected for wisdom and honor. يعني ايه so does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. So if you do many many things that's wise and honorable, one little folly will smell. That's the power of the negative. And that's why it's very, very important to watch carefully these negative patterns that may destroy the oneness in marriage. And the first negative pattern that destroys the oneness of the marriage is what we call it escalation. Escalation, what goes around comes around. If we want to define escalation, it is to respond back and forth negatively to each other. I'm sure you know what's escalation. You start with a negative comment, your spouse responds to you with a negative comment, so you respond to this with a stronger negative comment, and she will respond with a stronger negative comment, and it will escalate to frustration and anger. And usually, when an argument escalates, usually we say what threatens this relationship. يعني يجي الواحد يقول ايه مثلا in escalated argument like this, الواحد يقول خلاص انا الواحد مش طايق العيشة دي. You will say some comment that threaten this marriage. انا مش قادر, I cannot take it anymore. I want a way out. Or you may say, if you want to get divorced, go and get it. You know? So you're going to say what threatens this relationship. And that's a danger of escalation. عشان كده, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, you're like, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Some words are like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. And here I want to correct you a common belief. Many people believe that what you say it when you are angry, it really expresses what's in your heart. And many people believe that when you are angry and you say what you want to say, you're like, that is the truth. No, this is not right. This is not right. Usually, when we are in escalated argument like this, both partners are focused on the immediate argument in which they want to protect themselves. And the easy way to protect themselves is to attack the other and to pierce him with their words. But this doesn't mean they mean these words. Yani, I am sure you heard many parents, when they are in conflict or escalated argument with their children, يدعو عليهم أسألهم إن شاء الله تموت على حاجة زي كده. نعم؟ أنا بقولك لابس أنا بتكلم يعني إيه؟ In this word اللي هي comes during the time of escalated argument does not really reflect the true feeling. I'm sure these parents don't want their son to die. But it is a way of self-protection. I want to protect myself by attacking the other and piercing the other with my sword, so I protect myself. So don't believe that what is said in this escalated argument is what the other really means and feels. Another thing that happens in the escalated argument, and I'll look why escalation is very dangerous. But look, escalation is very dangerous, number one, because usually in escalation, you say things that threatens the oneness and the marriage, the marital relationship. Number two, sometimes in order to protect yourself in escalated arguments, you are using intimate knowledge, intimate information, knowledge about the other that you know, and he entrusted you with this knowledge. And then you use this knowledge to attack him and to pierce him. يعني مثلا ممكن husband shares with his wife that he has difficult childhood. And he shared this with her. This is intimate information. He was safe to uncover this part of his life and share this part with his wife. وبعدين تيجي بقى in escalated argument, she uses this part, this information that he was safe emotionally to uncover and to share with his wife, so she uses this information to attack him. تقول له, your attitude is because of your childhood, because your dad did this, your mom did this. And what's going to happen? The husband will not share anymore. The husband will withdraw and will start to build this barrier of fear of rejection and self-protection in order to protect himself from this weapon. علشان كده, don't allow your argument to be escalated. And if it's escalated, try to end it very quickly. And if you cannot, try not ever to share this intimate information. Don't use this intimate information or knowledge to attack the other. You are creating a barrier that will be everlasting. Because who is going to share deeper things if the information may be used later when conflict arises in the relationship? Why people don't share? Because they don't feel safe. علشان كده قديس يعقوب سان جيمس spoke to us about the importance of controlling our tongues. In James 1 verse 26 يقول, if anyone among you thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So if you get into argument, you need to control your tongue. You need to control your tongue. How to end escalated argument? Soften your tone and acknowledge the point of the other and try to diffuse the tension. As it's written in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, يقول لك ايه؟ A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So, if the other person starts to get angry, soft answer turns away wrath. That's how you end the escalation. Because if he's angry, and then you are angry, and then he's angry and angry, this will be escalated. But if to this anger you respond with a soft word and soft answer, you know, you are cutting this circuit right here and it will not escalate more. The second negative pattern, when I spoke about the second negative pattern من شوية, اللي هو invalidation. Invalidation. Other way to say invalidation, we can say painful put downs. You put down the other in a painful way. Painful put downs. You can put the other down, either his thoughts, feeling, character, emotions. And I want to tell you that invalidating the other person has usually negative effects on the oneness of the marriage, يقول لك ايه, see how the Bible speaks about invalidation. يقول لك, like one who takes away a garment in a cold weather. شوف مثلا الجو برد دلوقتي. And if somebody takes your coat from you, or it's like vinegar in soda, on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. When you are heavy heart and you share this heaviness with your spouse, and then he's singing songs, he's not empathized with you, so he's invalidating you. The Bible says it's like you put vinegar in soda, or you are taking garment in a cold weather, taking away garment in a cold weather. وهنا, just I want to say a very important point about invalidation. Does validation means you agree with the other person? Yes or no? What is the difference between validating a person and agreeing with a person? Can you validate a person while you disagree? Yes. Yeah. لأن عايز أقول لك yes. You can validate a person. You can validate his emotions and his feeling without agreeing with him. Let me give you an example. When they caught this woman in sin and brought her to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us are sure 100% the Lord did not agree with her behavior, with her adultery. But he validated her feeling and told her, "Does anyone condemn you?" She said, "No, Master." And he told her, "And I also will not condemn you. Go in peace." That's validation. He felt for her. The sinful woman in the house of Simon, she was validated by the Lord when he spoke about her love and how she loved more. Yes, he knew she is a sinner. أشكد الله, your sins are forgiven. But he validated her feeling. So there is a big difference between validating and understanding the other point of view and agreeing with him. And if your spouse comes to you and tell you that she has a problem in her work and with her boss or with her co-workers, if you tell her and you attack her character, you know, because you are so and so and so and so, she will never come back to you and share anything with you. But first, try to validate and try to understand from her point of view and try to acknowledge her suffering and try to acknowledge her heavy heart. And after this, you can give her your advice, your recommendation, without attacking her character and without putting her down. And I see many husbands tell me, "But we want to help her. Why she is angry?" No, you are not helping her. You are putting her down. This is not helping her. If you really want to help the other, number one, you need to empathize with him. You need to validate him. And then you can say your recommendation without putting him down.
نخلي الأسئلة في الآخر. أنا أردت أخلص, أتكلم على two other patterns وكده بقى خلصت. The third pattern is negative interpretation. When perception is worse than reality. When perception is worse than reality. Negative interpretation. What do I mean by negative interpretation? When you usually interpret the other and the motives of the other negative. So, if he does something bad because his motives are negative. And even if he does something good because its motives also, his motives also are negative. So it is lose-lose situation. And in counseling, we see this pattern a lot. When a partner always interpret the other negative. يعني I share with you this story. There was a conflict between husband and wife, and I talked with them, and I pointed out what the husband needs to do and what the wife needs to do. And after 1 week, the wife called me, and I told her, how's everything going on? Apparently, just he's acting to impress you. فقلت لها, why you are thinking this negatively about him? Why he wants to impress me? Why in the world he wants to impress me? Why don't you think positively? And he's really trying to keep this marriage. And that's why negative interpretation leads to what? To hopelessness. The other partner will feel that it's a hopeless case. Because either he tries or he doesn't try, he's wrong. So he will feel hopeless case. And he will withdraw from this relationship. And some people believe that they have the ability of mind reading. قال لك شوف سيدنا أنا عارفة كويس. They believe they have the ability to read the minds of the other. And that's, of course, wrong, not right. عشان كده, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, St. Paul says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. It is only God who will bring the counsels of the heart. You cannot claim that you are a mind reader. You cannot claim this. It's only God who can do this. And unfortunately, some people believe that they are mind readers. And not only this, but they are capable of persuading the other partner that they are mind readers and their interpretation is right. You need to know that the action of our partners, even these actions and behavior that annoy us, are well intended, or at least with no bad intention. I'm sure when you think about marriage and when you choose your mate or your spouse, you don't think, yes, you know what? This person is a good person to argue and to fight with, so I'm going to marry him. I'm sure this was not your intention. So why usually negatively interpret the other? You need to have positive thinking even when the reality is negative. You need to have positive interpretation even when the reality is negative. Like how the Lord interpreted the Samaritan woman positively. How St. Paul in Areopagus interpreted the Athens positively. How Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross interpreted the intention and the motives of his crucifiers positively. When he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. You need to train yourself to interpret others positively, even when the reality is negative. The last pattern is withdrawal and avoidance. تبسموها hide and seek. يعني ايه withdrawal or avoidance؟ When a serious discussion or argument started, one partner is unwilling to stay or to get into this important discussion. So he withdrew from the discussion. How he withdrew from the discussion? Either he get quiet during the argument, or look away, or quickly agree to the suggestion and recommendation, knowing in his heart he will not follow anything from this. That's withdrawal. Avoidance, يعني withdrawal, he is engaged in the discussion, but quickly withdraw himself. Avoidance, he tried to avoid the discussion from the beginning. From the beginning. And actually, there is a gender pattern here. يعني the research said in men usually are the withdrawer, while women are the pursuer. تقول احنا عايزين نتكلم ولا مش دلوقتي. Just he withdraw from the discussion. Or she says he recognizes, okay, أنا موافق. And in his mind, he's going to do something else. No. And the pursuer all the time brings issue for the discussion. And the withdrawal try to avoid the discussion. Why? We need to understand why this person tried to withdraw or to avoid, and why this person tried to pursue the discussion. Usually, and I want you to understand this very well, why any person try to withdraw from discussion? Because he doesn't feel safe to share his difference. Again, it's about naked and ashamed. He knows that if he's going to disagree or say another opinion, it may go into an endless discussion. And he may get hurt in this discussion. And that's why, in order to protect himself, in order to feel safe emotionally, he doesn't want to remain in the discussion. So he withdraw and avoid the discussion. And the pursuer all the time has issues that think it's important to discuss and to acknowledge. But usually in this pursuer-withdrawal interaction, usually there is negative interpretation. And if you combination between negative interpretation and withdrawal and pursuer. A negative interpretation. For women, the pursuer, they interpreted men who don't talk, who get quiet in the discussion, as they don't care. For them, lack of talking means lack of caring. And I hear this from several wives. He doesn't care. Allah, why? Why you say he doesn't care? It's only because when we speak, he shut me up. He doesn't want to discuss anything with me. So lack of talking means lack of caring. And I try here to reframe this. And I tell her, maybe it's not lack of caring. Maybe he trying to protect himself, because it's not safe emotionally for him to get into this discussion. So we need to learn how to discuss our differences. And for men also, they pursue they interpret women negative. How? Men usually perceive women or interpret women as they like to fight, they like to nag. يعني كده نكديين عايزين على طول كده to fight and to nag. And that's not true. When women pursue a discussion, they pursue it because they try to get connected. يعني the self in woman grows in relation. And they want to get connected. And that's why they pursue the discussion. And actually, when this withdrawal, pursual interaction goes on, it escalates. Because the more you withdraw, the more she pursues. So you will not get out of it. And the best way to interrupt this vicious circle is to validate and to get engaged in the discussion. And maybe you need to learn first how to discuss your differences in a safe atmosphere in which you can uncover all your thoughts and all your feelings and all your opinions without being ashamed, being naked and unashamed. But this pattern is the worst because it includes the negative interpretation and the escalation. And also it has invalidation, because when you withdraw from a discussion, you are invalidating the person. And unfortunately, we see this a lot. This pattern, we see it a lot in marriage. عشان كده, St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, يقول, therefore, putting away lying. When you say, I agree, that's lying. And St. Paul says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. These are some patterns that may destroy the oneness of marriage. And as I said in the beginning, you have to know the power of the negative. One dead fly can wipe away the perfume. So knowing the power of negative, and knowing these four negative patterns, you need to fight them in order to keep the oneness, and to keep this oneness permanently, happily, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.